Chapter 3 of Book of Ruth, please. It was the principle of the redemption of God had written in the word, in the book, the Bible, that gave the Naomi assurance that the boys would rescue them because he's a near kinsman. As a near relative, the boys would redeem the family property that Elimelech sold 10 years before they left to the land of Moabite. And so they can keep this in the family and keep it in the heritage. However, there's something else has to be taken care of. The wife of the deceased must be taken care of as well. It will be passed with the property. Therefore, the kinsman redeemer must marry this the widow. By having a child through her, the first child will carry the deceased name. And by doing so, they get to have the family name with the family inheritance. They get to keep everything within the family and become continuously theirs. Where do I find that source? It's written in Deuteronomy chapter 25. Keep your finger in chapter 3 of Ruth. Go to chapter 25 of Deuteronomy, please. Chapter 25, verse 5. It reads, if brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, the widow of the dead man shall not be married to a stranger outside of the family. Her husband's brother shall go into her and take her as his wife and perform the duty of husband's brother to her. And it shall be that the firstborn son which she bears will succeed to the name of the dead brother, that his name may not be blotted out of Israel. Verse 7, then if the man does not want to take his brother's wife, let his brother's wife go up to the gate to the elders and say, my husband's brother refused to raise up the name of his brother in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elders of the city shall call him and speak to him, and he stands firm and say, I do not want to take her. Then his brother's wife shall come to him in the presence of the elders and remove his sandal from his foot, spit in his face, and answer and say, so shall be done to the man who will not build up his brother's house. And his name shall be called in Israel, the house of him who had the sandal removed. I guess there would be quite an occasion to be slapped with spit on the face and sandal taken away. Anyway, this is known as levirate marriage, and because the lever in that Latin word is a husband's brother. It's something we covered the last time when we studied the book of Deuteronomy. Now, verse 1 of chapter 3. We will pray first. Heavenly Father, it is important for us to realize that you are always faithful. Even though we sin often, you are committed to help us and renew our relationship with you. Father, through your Son Jesus Christ, our sins have been forgiven. And it is a dawning of the new day because your compassion fail not and they are new every morning. Father, speak to us, not just because this is the Old Testament record, but more than that, it's about Jesus Christ. We're asking your guidance and your anointing upon the word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, that is Ruth, my daughter, shall I not seek the security for you, that if it may be well with you, but Boaz, whose young woman you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself, put on the best garment, go down to the threshing floor, But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be, when he lies down, and that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. And she said to her, Ruth speaking to Naomi, her mother-in-law, all that you say to me, I will do. Ever since Boaz came to Ruth's life, Naomi is no longer the same person. You remember when they came back to the Bethlehem, she was very cynical and depressed, because when they left, they had the entire family. When she came back, she pretty much had herself and with a few belongings on her back, and daughter-in-law who is a foreigner, more specifically Moabite, who was the tribe of despised the tribe. So she had nothing, even though it was her own choice, her own family's choice, and the consequence that followed, somehow she chose to blame God. But now, with the boys within the picture, and she realized there's something more. See, when we served others, we ourselves receive the greatest joy and satisfaction. Isn't that true? Modern German pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer called Jesus Christ the man for others. And the title is appropriate in my opinion. So again, keep your finger in Ruth and go to Philippians chapter 2. This is something we covered last Sunday. But go back there anyway, please. Philippians chapter 2 verse 3. Let nothing be done through the selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of the mind, that let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. God always tell us through his gospel, it's better for us to give than receive. The time of harvest is almost over, and I'm sure that every day, with the exception of Sabbath, because on the Sabbath day that you cannot travel more than the length of your town, most likely. So Boaz could not come to the field, but every day he was excited to go to his field, particularly where the Ruth was working, because he was in love with her. And to him, on the way to that place, I'm sure is more like a short distance. Even if it's a long distance, nothing is matter to him. He had the spring in his step, and the sky was blue. We can find out how he felt about her in this chapter pretty soon. But for Ruth, that's not the case. For her future, she couldn't say anything about it. She couldn't do anything, because within the custom, they were not going out with somebody for a date. It was pretty much matchmaking. Now, I'm not condoning matchmaking or the downplaying matchmaking, but there is something we have to concern. One thing we have to know about. Let's compare with the dating. Dating can be quite superficial, because during the day, you remember those who've been married for quite some time, don't we come up with the best side while we date? Yes or no, right? And once you're married, the truth revealed. Haven't you heard the story about this? I don't know how true this is, probably not. This guy was absolutely head over heels in love with this woman who is an opera singer. She just sang so beautifully, and she, from the third balcony, she looked outstanding. She was beautiful. So without even thinking about it, she was single, so he asked her to marry him. They got married, went to honeymoon. At the honeymoon hotel room, she took off her wig and took out her glass eye, and took out the denture, and took off her leg. And he said, "Woman, start to sing, please." So we tend to put out the best side of our part while we're dating. But a lot of people, either man or woman, either way, they can be led to deceive or they're led to believe something else other than what that person is truly is. So what am I recommending? Probably they should be hang around with a bunch of other people. Watch that person, how they interact with others. While they watch that, how they interact with others, that's how that person going to treat you down the road. I'm not saying the matchmaking is good or the dating is good, either one. But I don't think dating was the way God intended. Better gauge to measure man or woman to see how they act toward others in a group setting, because sooner or later that's how they are going to treat you. With all that said, keep this in mind. The Book of Ruth is more than just record of the marriage of the alien from the despised tribe to a respected Jew. It is a picture of Jesus Christ's redemption and the relationship to those who trust Him and belong to Him. Well, pretty soon in this chapter and the next chapter, there is a lot of typology that we are going to find. I'm sure that there are another man, there are other men who were more than willing to marry Ruth. She was a nice woman and single at this point. So I'm sure there are a lot of young men who would marry her. However, that would not bring the redemption to her and the property they don't have. Only kinsmen could do that. The Boaz was their kinsman. Since Naomi knew that Boaz would be using the threshing floor that night, staying there to guard his grain. Let me just give you a quick sum up what the threshing floor is. The threshing floor is most of the time is the large bedrock, which you can find many places in Israel. They sweep that thing first, and then before they, there's a two different ways to separating chaff and grain. First, one way to do it is let the oxen or the donkey would step on it, and while they step on it, and they can grind the chaff against the grain and it splits that. Or another way to do is using the millstone. They have a big hole with a big grinder and put the stuff inside and start to grind it, and then it will peel off chaff, and they just pull it out, and it will comes out around the millstone. And they get them together, and then they flip in the air. In the gentle Mediterranean breeze in the evening, around the late afternoon and evening, and we'll push away the chaff, and the lighter portion of chaff will be on the ground, and the grain will drop straight down. Am I making sense? I used to watch that when I was growing up in Korea. A lot of people flipping the grain. I didn't know what they were doing. Later I found out. And that's how they separate the chaff and the grain. And remember, this is the time of judges. It was pretty much anarchy period, and whoever wants to come to rob somebody else, there's no police to police that kind of thing. So the owner of the harvest has to stay with the grain until he take him either market it or keep him for the storage. So in this case, Boaz was staying in that threshing floor. That's where we setting is. There are several things we must notice from the Naomi's instruction to the Ruth. Number one, wash yourself. Why that is important? With regard to the Jews, the law of Moses required ceremonial washing and taking bath and changing clothes usually precede a special event. Actually, what the Naomi told Ruth was pretty much like an act as she's getting married, bride preparing for the wedding. Where do I find that? In Ezekiel chapter 16, please. Chapter 16, verse 9. Then I washed you in the water. Yes, I thoroughly washed off your blood, and I anointed you with oil. I clothed you. This is God speaking to Israel. Clothed you in embroidered clothes, and gave you sandals of badger skin. I clothed you with fine linen and covered you with silk. I adorned you with the ornament, and put bracelet on your wrist and the chain on your neck. I put the jewel in your nose, an earring in your ears, a beautiful crown on your head. This is God preparing Israel as a bride. Now, if we want to enter into the deeper relationship with Jesus Christ, we must cleanse ourselves from any filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting the holiness out of fear. That's not being scared of God, rather, a better translation would be the reverence of God. When we seek forgiveness, God washed the record clean, slate clean, according to 1 John 1:9. You guys remember that, right? But God will not do that, do the things that what we must do ourselves. What would that be? Only we, as an individual, can put out our lives that those things that defiles us. We know what they are. It can be something, what we read, whether it's a magazine or the books. And then the ladies will say, well, guys can read the filthy porno magazines, but they can read the romance novel that including adultery is normal. What's the difference, right? Am I making sense to you? What you read, what you see, what you hear, music. Some of the rap songs that nowadays is nothing but a filth and garbage, vulgar and profanities. We must separate ourselves from whatever defiles us and grieves our heart, our Father in heaven. Second thing we notice is anoint yourself. That's what Naomi said to Ruth. We all have been around people with some certain kinds of body odor, whether it's because of occupation, they sweat in the hot day, or they just have that body odor because their situation. I remember I encountered many, many homeless people while my family was involved in the Home Mission Church in downtown Tucson about 20 years ago. Eastern people used the fragrant oil to protect or even heal their bodies to make themselves pleasant to others, like in our case, a cologne or perfume. Especially the Eastern woman used that the day of their wedding. Remember the time when the woman came, sinful woman came to the presence of Jesus and broke the alabaster jar? She was preparing, kept that thing for her wedding day, and she gave it to Jesus. That's the kind of thing. Anointing oils, of course, speaks of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. All believers have received the presence of the Holy Spirit in our heart as well as His anointing. Nobody can say, I never received anointing from the Lord. Yeah, we do. We do receive that. Let me put it this way. Some people have more anointing than other people. Why? Because that person is anointed by the Holy Spirit and they exercise their anointing. And they're getting low with anointing. Because the more they use, the less they have. Guess what the God does? He refills them more. Each morning, it should be your prayer and my prayer, asking God, fill me with your Holy Spirit, so we can be used by Him. If we have this certain amount of anointing in our lives, and we don't use it for His glory, guess what God will do? He will not give it to us any more than what we already have. Because we are already full. Am I making sense to you? Yes. Yes.
That's why you need the Holy Spirit to keep you there.
Yeah, and we have to have a we have to use that on God's anointing for the, His glory. The more we use, He's going to reveal more and more. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. The more we are like Jesus Christ in character and conduct, the more we please our Father. And the more we please Him, the more He can bless and use us for His glory. Agree? While here on earth, Jesus lived His life and did His work through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Remember, each time, each night, He made Himself alone in the secluded area, and He relied on the whole, speak to the God the Father in heaven, and rely on God's the Spirit to reveal Him. If the Son of God, spotless, sinless Son of God, rely on the Spirit of God all that much, how much more do we need the Holy Spirit? Alright, third thing we find is, Naomi told Ruth to do is to put on the best garment. I believe that Ruth may not have the large collection of the designer robes, word robes, but I bet she had at least one decent clothes, and probably that's what she meant to have, use it to that particular night. In the scripture, the clothing often carries the special meaning. Clothing carries a special meaning. After they have sinned against God, that our first parents, Adam and Eve, clothed themselves with leaves, fig leaves. Not only did God could forgive them, clothe them acceptably, He had to shed the blood of an animal to cover them. The Jewish priest wore a special garment and nobody else permitted to wear. And the salvation is, again, pictured as a change of clothes. You can find it in Isaiah chapter 61, please. Isaiah 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For He has, note that word, clothed me with the garment of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decked himself with an ornament, and as a bride adorned herself with her jewel. And lastly, I find it that all that you said, this is the Ruth's comment, all that you said to me, I will do. Ruth said, I will do. In my opinion, Ruth was not only the hearer of the word, but also she was a doer of the word. According to James, remember? Don't be just hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. A willingness to obey the Lord is a secret of the knowing the heart of God and what He wants us to do. Being blessed and when we do it. God does not expect us to understand everything what He does, but He expects us to obey what He tells us to do. Or that we can find it, what He says from the Word of God or the godly counsel. Go down to verse 6, please, in Ruth, chapter 3. So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and her heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of a heap of grain. And she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight, the man was startled and turned himself, and there woman lying at his feet. I bet he was startled, wouldn't you be? And he said, who are you? So she answered, I am Ruth, your maidservant, and take your maidservant under your wing, for you are close relative. Then he said, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for all that you request. For all the people of my town knows that you are a virtuous woman. Now, it is true that I am close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. In other words, he already checked it out. Stay this night, and in the morning, it shall be that if he will perform the duty of the close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you. As the Lord lives, lie down until morning. Have you ever heard the phrase, life is a full of rude awakenings? Right? I think some of the Bible characters would agree with that. Adam went to sleep, and when he woke up, he has the surgery was done. One of the ribs is missing, and he's a married man. And Jacob went to sleep and woke up, and he realized he's married to the wrong woman. And here is the boy, as he woke up in the middle of the night, and there is a woman lying on at his feet. Huh? Yeah, don't go to sleep. Generally, we see the man proposing to a woman, the one who is in love with. Here we find the Ruth proposing to Boaz. Why didn't Boaz, who was probably the most eligible bachelor in Bethlehem, did not do that? Why didn't he ask her to marry him? In my opinion, there's a couple reasons. I'm sure that there were plenty of the mamas who would like to introduce their daughters to him, but this person somehow kept himself as a single. We don't know whether that person was a widower, or never been married. In this case, he does not have a son of his own. I find the two reasons why the boy's reaction to the Ruth's proposal. First, he thought that he would not be qualified to be her husband because she's young, he's old, and probably he's not in the game. Number two, there is somebody who is closer to Naomi and Ruth than himself, so he didn't think that he was good enough. When Ruth pretty much forced him to do that, I'm sure she has twisted his arm bad. And he was smiling ear to ear. He said, oh yeah, I will check it out. And now he's doing these things. And verse 14, please. So she lay at his feet until morning. She arose before one could recognize another. Then he said, do not let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor. Also he said, bring the shawl that is on you, hold it. When he held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. So when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, is that you, my daughter? And some of your version might say, who are you, my daughter? Who are you? And that's not a good translation.
How did it go?
Yeah, that's a better translation. In more modern day translation, if there is such a thing that way, then what's up, my daughter? Anyway, verse 16, and then she told her all the man had done for her, and she said, this is 6 ephahs of the barley he gave me. For he said to me, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out, for the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. Since Boaz could not find a box of chocolate, I guess he is settled with 6 ephahs of barley. How romantic, right? So the husband, when you want to get something romantic, 6 ephahs of barley will do. And you can say it's in the Bible. Okay, I'm a few behind. Boaz did not want Ruth to return home the false hope in her heart. This is important. joy and peace that based on ignorance of the true fact are but delusion and lead to disappointment. Isn't that true? And this great concern of the Boaz was the redemption of Ruth. Even if some other kinsman redeemer take care of it, Boaz was willing to follow the proper procedure of the law. Speaking of following the proper procedure of the law, God did the same thing. When you see this as a picture of redemption in Jesus Christ, it impressed me strongly that God willingly obey his own law when he accomplishes our salvation in Jesus Christ. Where do I find it? Ezekiel chapter 18, please. Chapter 18, verse 4. God speaking. Behold, all souls are mine. The souls of a father as well as the souls of the son is mine. The souls who sin shall die. God will follow his own laws. In Romans chapter 8, please. Verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Why did Jesus have to die? Because according to the law of God, for the cost of sin, payment need to be paid. So Jesus became a ransom for us. Naomi could no longer say that her hands are empty as she mentioned in chapter 1. Her hands are full with the grace of God through the man Boaz. As an expression of that is the sixth ephod of the barley. Ruth's faith and obedience has brought a complete transformation in their lives and now they are living in by the grace. I have two applications. Number one, be still. Psalm 46:10, please. You guys know this by heart. Psalm 46:10. If you don't know this, I highly recommend you to memorize this. Verse 10 says, be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You know, this is a wonderful antidote for our restless spirit. When we start to worry, this should come in the rescue. Interestingly, the Hebrew word for the translate to be still is to take your hands off and relax. Isn't that interesting? Our Lord can do just fine without our help, really. He really does not need our help. Second application. Philippians 1:6, please. He is able. Being confident of these very things, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It encouraged my heart to know that Jesus Christ is working unceasingly for his people as he intercedes from the right hand of the Father in heaven, and that he is working for us and seeking to conform us into his image and for his perfect will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and thank you for your guidance. We realize that all things from you and all things for your glory. We often mess up that perfect setup you made. Let us turn our heart to you each and every day. Be filled with the Holy Spirit in seeking your will, seeking your ways. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.